Hey True North, it's Tuesday, September 15th. My name is Eugene, and welcome to True North Daily. I was able to start a little side project podcast with a couple of my friends in ministry, and we just recorded an episode on our own reflections of growing up in the first generation Korean church. And as I'm even reflecting more and thinking a little further back, it took me back to just growing up in a Korean household, in a Korean culture, as a second generation Korean American. And one thing that always sticks out in my mind is how my parents and the culture itself dealt with failure. That, to be honest, there was no room for failure. And in part, there was some good and bad to that. That as I look back, I'm appreciative of the drive that they instilled in me to strive for excellence, which I think is biblical as well. How to try and see what my full capabilities are, and I'm all thankful for that. But I'm also wary of the trauma and negative effects that I still carry. That I remember that every failure that I did at a violin recital, my grades coming back from school, it was always a lesson of how I could be doing more, but never an affirmation of acceptance and love. And I want to be careful, I don't want my parents just to say, hey, any failure is fine. But I never remember a moment in failure of being affirmed of that love that my parents, I knew, had for me. And more than that being a Korean or Asian or cultural problem, it's a human sin problem. I mean, I know this as a Korean American father who told myself, I'm never going to be like that. But as my son is now turning 2 and disobeying me, and as the original sin of Adam slowly creeps into his heart and soul, I find myself with a low tolerance for his failures, even at the age of 2. And for many of us, we don't know what to do with our failures, especially as Christians. You know, we like to think of ourselves as people of convictions, that we make our life decisions off of convictions that we received from God, from our own thinking, from our own hearts. But if I'm honest, a lot of my own decisions and my life is not shaped by my convictions, but my fears of failure. Take being a father, for example. I always thought to myself, oh, it's the thought of being a good dad that would drive me to do certain things. But as I'm on Instagram, as I talk with my in-laws, as my wife is with me, it's also the fear, not even also, mainly the fear of being a failure of a father that drives me. And I think deep down inside, as Christians, we know that's antithetical to the gospel. You see, I think generally there are two camps in how we try and deal with the failures of our life. For some of us, and I'm in this camp, we become paralyzed by failure. You know, when I was younger, I was always deemed the kid with potential. I was the firstborn son of my family. And I was the kid who, if he just practiced a little bit more violin, he could make first chair. I was the kid, if he just turned in his homework on time, he could get straight A's. And my parents would always tell me it's my laziness, it's my apathy that's causing me to falter. But deep down inside, I knew it wasn't my apathy, but rather it was a fear of failure that was paralyzing my life. You see, I've come to believe that there's no one really lazy in our world. You're just scared. You're paralyzed by failure and you use the quote-unquote apathetic or lazy state as a safety net. You protect yourself with a lack of effort because the possibility of failure never becomes a reality for you because you never tried in the first place. You and me, we set low expectations for our life, grades, career, relationships, everything to make sure that we don't fail. Others of us, rather than being paralyzed by failure, we're driven by failure. Rather than creating a safety net of laziness, you're very aware of the reality of failure and you will not rest until it is erased as a possibility in your life. And we all know the effects and people like this. You build your life as like you're building an endless resume to hide your failures. And if you do fail, you bury it deep down into the shadows of your soul and try and hide it with every single fiber of your body. You and me, we become addicted to achievements because we think that is what will cover our failures. The addiction never ends. People become objects. Your job is now a signifier of your worth. And God ultimately becomes a tool just to add to your collection in the shed. And you only bring him out when your life needs a fix. Now, what do you do as a disciple? You see, Jesus had a very different approach to failure that neither was paralyzed by it or driven by it to erase it. Rather, Paul says this in 2 Corinthians 12:9. But he, or Jesus, said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me." You see, Jesus, rather than saying you should try to hide your insufficiencies with laziness or achievements, he says the only way you can cover your insufficiencies is through my grace. And a part of grace is coming as you are. You can't really receive it if you try and butter yourself up, because then it isn't grace, it's not free. So what Jesus is ultimately saying is that grace requires you to live with your failures. That's why Paul responds, "Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me." And I want to make this clear. This isn't a calling to live comfortably with our failures. This isn't a calling to look for failures. But this is a calling to look back at your failures, maybe even at your current ones, and knowing for your future ones that your failures, you live with them by allowing them to remind you of your need and power of Christ's love. That you have this grace that can only be received when you come as you are to the foot of your Savior. So, I know in this pandemic, whether you're a parent, whether you're working, even a church member here at True North, you will feel like a failure. And the ugly truth is, it's true. But the beautiful and scandalous side of grace is that in the midst of our failures, we have a Savior who took all of that to the cross so that we could enjoy the victorious and perfect life that Jesus lived on our behalf. Let's pray. Lord, as we learn to deal with our failures, some of us are paralyzed, some of us are driven by them. Allow us just to live with them, not comfortably, not in a prideful way, but living with them in remembrance of your grace and your love for us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.